This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A New York judge will decide today whether Donald Trump's 32 felony convictions should be tossed, given the recent Supreme Court ruling about presidential immunity. Trump picking a few more names for his cabinet, including Marco Rubio, sources say, for Secretary of State. Former Congressman Lee Zeldin is head of the EPA. The FAA is deciding whether to ban U.S. airlines from flying into Haiti after a Spirit Airlines plane was shot at by gangs as it approached the runway. Here's ABC's Connor Finnegan.
The plane was just about 550 feet off of the ground when pilots had to divert to the neighboring Dominican Republic. One flight attendant on board suffered minor injuries during the action. Multiple airlines now have suspended their services, including JetBlue and American Airlines. The airport there in Port-au-Prince remains closed.
The Archbishop of Canterbury, head of the Church of England, has resigned after an investigation found he failed to tell police in a timely manner about abuse at volunteer summer camps. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. A bomb cyclone is a low-pressure system that quickly gets very powerful. That was the type of storm that hit the Northland on November 10th in 1975. It's the historic storm that sank the SS Edmund Fitzgerald in 25-foot waves created by 50-knot hurricane-force winds. Now, 49 years after the tragedy, a few people are trying to get a Wisconsin historical marker to commemorate the Fitz leaving from Superior, her last port of call. 2025 will be the year of the Fitz in Superior, and the marker will be up by the 50th anniversary. In young voters under 30 years old, there was a significant change in statistics. Exit polling shows Vice President Kamala Harris won young voters in Wisconsin 53-45% against President-elect Donald Trump. That's a drop from a much wider margin in the 2020 election. Joe Biden won that group 59-36%. In past years, experts say the younger voters leaned more liberal, but it was not as big of a gap this year in Wisconsin as it has always been. When a new charter school opens in Wisconsin, there's about a 50-50 chance that it closes within the next 5 years. Here's Savannah Tomei Olson.
A new report from the Center for Charter School Accountability shows nationally 25% of them close within the first 5 years. Here in Wisconsin, it's over 45%. Charter schools get public funding, but are usually run by private entities. They're often billed as alternatives for families who want more options. But what do you do when that school you handpicked is set to close? Jenny Hofschulte of the Wisconsin Public Education Network says traditional public schools are happy to welcome these kids back, but local districts often have to move really fast to place them.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Milwaukee Bucks tried to avoid the cellar. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska filling in for Mike Clemens for Civic Media Sports. Tonight, the 2-8 Bucks take on the 2-9 Toronto Raptors, who own the NBA's worst record. Doc Rivers says the Bucks are working to turn things around.
Well, we just got to dig ourselves out of this hole that we're creating. We created it. All of us. Me, them, together.
The losing team tonight will have the NBA's worst record. Tip-off is at 7 p.m. at Fiserv Forum. This Saturday, the Wisconsin Badgers will host the undefeated Oregon Ducks at Camp Randall Stadium. Kickoff is at 6:30 p.m. Saturday. The Badgers are 5-4 and need a win over their final three games in order to become bowl eligible. Milwaukee Brewers manager Pat Murphy and rookie standout Jackson Churio are up for some hardware. Murphy was named as one of three finalists for the National League Manager of the Year. The other finalists are San Diego's Mike Schilt and New York's Carlos Mendoza. Churio is up for Rookie of the Year, along with Paul Skeens of Pittsburgh and Jackson Merrill of San Diego. The awards will be announced next week. For Civic Media Sports, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Mostly sunny today. It will become a little breezy by late this afternoon and especially into this evening. Our high today in the upper 40s to near 50. Tonight, partly cloudy, breezy in the mid to upper 30s. Tomorrow, cloudy with scattered rain and a high in the mid to upper 40s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 34.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Siegel joins us now to make our popcorn pick of the week. Hey, Mike.
When I was a kid in the 70s, there was no Walmart. There was no right. Sears was everything, from our tools to all our back-to-school clothes, everything else.
Pants, stereos, kitchen appliances. Do you have pantyhose? Yeah, they're right next to power tools on second floor. It's like you really could get everything there.
Everything.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dr. Kristen Lierley will be here at 11:06. The woman is a fountain of positivity. Make sure you join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
The hills I put myself through, the fights I didn't need to fight. This thick head of mine you couldn't get through. Had to do it wrong just to get it right.
Good morning, Sandy Williams, sitting in for Earl Ingram and the Earl Ingram Show, playing music about lessons learned, and that's what we're talking about today. Trying to go through kind of a continual improvement analysis of the election. Looking at how the Democratic Party performed. I've got Robert Sawdek from Atlanta on the line with me today. Bob has done an analysis that's pretty thorough, looking at what it is that maybe the Democrats ought to look in the mirror and think about. And I also have David on the line. Thank you for waiting through that long break. I thought maybe, Bob, why don't you take David through the headlines of each of the public's view of the Democratic personality, and let's find out which box David would tick if he were to select and on a multiple choice basis, which of these things would matter to him in terms of how he voted.
Yeah, that's a good way to approach it, because I think some of these are more important to people than others.
Right.
Okay, ticking them off. Wokeism.
Let's stop, David. What about wokeism? How troubling to you is the sort of woke aspect, the image of the Democratic Party, and do you think that affects how you consider voting for them?
I consider that a minor issue.
Minor, okay.
Yeah, that may be a little bit more based on campuses and on certain groups. Okay, number two, I had obsessed, well, in the words of David Leonard in the New York Times, Democrats are obsessed with race and gender.
How about that, Dave? Is that an accurate measuring?
Let me just mention obsession maybe isn't the issue, but affirmative action being a big example in employment and admissions and so on, I think is a good example of race issues that Democrats pursue.
I do think it's a factor. I'm not sure how, again, a large factor it is, but it's definitely, another issue that I base it on an individual as far as their merits are concerned rather than race and gender. And I personally think that that's what we need to get back to, because I think that that's what actually works, as opposed to try to make determinations on equal outcomes for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Okay, number three, I had Democrats often call Republicans, Trump in particular, bigots, conspiracy theorists.
Yeah, David, were you offended by that in terms of a sense that it was lumping you as well into that category?
I mean, I wasn't happy about it, but I'm not surprised about it.
Yeah,
to be honest
yeah.
with you. I mean, it comes with the territory almost at this point, because it's been stated so much. It's not like it was just recently, popped out there. It's been that way for a while, actually. And then, you know, so for me, again, it's an issue that, you know, I just kind of brush that off. And the fact of the matter is that, you know, that's a messaging that I just know that's going to, you know, come with.
You migrated some years ago from Democrat to Republican. Would that have been a factor as part of your migration, or is it really just a bunch of lip service that people are giving and it's something you kind of ignore?
I would say for me personally, lip service.
Yeah, okay.
Because Republicans have said nasty things about Democrats, and, you know, it's kind of like a word slinging fest in some ways. It's gotten worse. I do think that has happened as far as describing your opponents. But yeah, I think that is a little bit more lip service, personally.
Okay, next one we had is elitism, which we touched on a few minutes ago.
Yeah, I mean, do you have a sense? I think you have talked about, for instance, the campus situation, particularly as it related to Israel and Gaza. Is that, do you think, part of elitism in your mind, or is that a more separate issue?
I would say it's a problem because it's made anti-Semitism acceptable on college with the fact that, okay, you know, if you support Israel, well, you're a bigot.
Is that part of elitism in your mind? Do you think that elitism is the word that would relate to that particular issue, or do you think it's something else?
I would say because it's associated with Ivy League schools, and you look at all the presidents that are pushed out,
yeah,
be it Harvard or Columbia, Stanford, yes. That's where that connotation comes in, because those are considered, you know, pristine elite schools. And if you have that on campus and you look at what's going on, yes, that's why that I think comes into the forefront in that respect.
Yeah. Okay. What was the next one?
Next one we had was being sanctimonious and patronizing, i.e. the allegation is that, or the impression is that Democrats are that way.
Yeah, I think you said Nicholas Kristof had described Democrats as coming across as remote and patronizing. Do you have a sense of that, David, or is that not something that you react to?
Morning, Tom. You know what? If you look at what Barack Obama said recently, he said, well, if you're a black man, you're not voting Harris and what have you, you know, there's something wrong with you. And, you know, so when you start, you know, throwing different things in that regard, I don't think that you're going to start alienating quite a few people by doing that, because you're not respecting that individual's thought process. And so you're actually trying to box them in by saying, if you don't do this, well, this is what happens, you know? And so I think that's a messaging issue that the Democratic Party has to figure out going forward, because rather than, throw that kind of language at them, how do you say, okay, what really matters to you?
Yeah,
Why are you thinking about doing this? And I think that's what needs to be done.
I think the next one you had, Bob, was cancel culture. I think that's what you started out with talking, Dave. So presumably the cancel culture aspect of it is something that has annoyed you enough to rise to the level of being in your conscience.
Yeah, I would say so. It's one of those things where, you know, again, during COVID, if you were told that you believed it was a lab leak, you know, that it came from there and what have you, again, you're ostracized from that viewpoint. And you didn't even have a chance to explain And so I do think that that's where it kind of materialized when you, again, if you didn't fit into that box, you know, it was just like, okay, well, you're just a crazy person. You know, you're not a science-based individual.
What about the attention that was paid during the campaign and by Democrats and by liberals, more than maybe Democrats, because I do think the trans issues were things that were going on outside of government, but were labeled as liberal focuses of attention. Did that bother you in terms of your vote?
No. For me, it really came down to economy. If you look at what it costs to purchase a home, you have to, and it was just put in Zillow recently, you have to earn 80% more to purchase a home today than you did 4 years ago. So I don't know if Calvin is looking for a home, but he's going to have to exponentially make a lot more money to be able to purchase a home.
Yeah, that which is part and of the economic situation. Let me just shift. We've got a couple more callers, and so let me just if you want to stay on, Dave. But where I mean, I have some others introduced some ideas of their own. We have Al from Milwaukee. Al.
Good morning.
Good morning. Are you gonna bug me about the music, Al? I know you do that with some regularity.
Well, I've gotten past that, Sam.
Okay, that's good. Yeah,
I'm almost 80 years old, so I go back music-wise. My grandfather was a pianist and played with King Oliver and Louis Armstrong and all those people. So I can take you back into the late 1700s about music.
Oh, well, let's not do that today.
Pardon me?
Let's not do that today. What do you have to add to what we're talking about?
Yeah. I called you because I want you all to define for me conservatism and liberalism, because I consider myself somewhat conservative, but, you know, I'm a military veteran. My whole family was in the military. My mother, my grandfather, my father, two sons, three uncles, and my sister. The point is, a lot of what transpired in this election and its process was racism. And it's a simple matter of we are a minority in this country, and along with the Hispanics and others, and most of the information that was being put out in these commercials was blatant racism, and there's nothing else you can do. Most of the voting, I think, was done through fear, and people did not see Harris as a strong person in case there's a war.
Particularly from your vantage point, I think that's all. And I do think that the definitions of liberal and conservative have become thoroughly confused and potentially have lost much of their meaning. We'll be back talking more about this. We also have some more callers. And so we'll be considering sort of the lessons to be learned by the Democrats from the process they just went through. But the hard way taught me well, the hard way. Put this boy through hell the hard way. It taught me how to tell the right way from the wrong, and on which side I belong. On the hard way.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Badger fans, the final home matchup at Camp Randall Stadium is just around the corner, and it's a big one. This Black Friday, Badger football takes on Minnesota in a battle for Paul Bunyan's axe. Great tickets remain for the border battle matchup, but they're going fast. Don't miss out on your chance to be in the stands. Secure your seats for November 29th. For more information and to get your tickets, visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. That's uwbadgers.com or 1-800-GO-BADGERS. Don't wait. Get your spot today.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy, and today's Work Money word is fiduciary. Well, fiduciary is a mega important term that you got to know when it comes to getting professional financial advice. In the world of money, you want someone committed to the fiduciary standard because those folks are legally obligated to act in your best interest only. I mean, every other broker or advisor or banker who has not specifically committed to the fiduciary standard and told you that that's what they're doing, those folks don't have that obligation. They could be selling you products or encouraging you to invest in things or put your money in places that end up helping their wallet even more than yours. So simply put, anytime that you are hiring a financial advisor, ask them if they uphold the fiduciary standard. For me and mine, fiduciary advisors are the only ones I'm trusting my money to. That was your Work Money Minute. For more, check out workmoney.org. This is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
News from the Center, WRCE.
They say there's a universal plan for every woman, for every man. I do believe there's a higher power, but in our darkest hour, it's hard to...
Good morning. Sandy Williams sitting in for Earl Ingram, the Earl Ingram Show. We're talking today about sort of the lessons learned associated with the outcome of the election. I've got a colleague and friend from Atlanta, Georgia, Robert Sawdyke, on the line, who's done an analysis of the election. We have callers on the line. What I'm looking for is a discussion primarily probably from people who didn't vote for Kamala Harris, about what it is about the Democratic Party that, from their perception, that are the brand issues associated with what they perceive to be Democrats, that might, what might have affected their vote this time. And quickly, Bob, I thought maybe you could just quickly run through the headlines on why we're talking about this in terms of the geography and demographics of the outcome of this thing, which was, you know, not good for the Democrats.
Yeah, they did quite badly, as in sort of 20% to 40% range of getting the votes among rural voters, non-college educated voters, non-coastal voters, working class voters, poor white voters, men generally, young people and first time voters, and Latinos. It wasn't 20 to 40% among Latinos or some of these, but it was less than it had been in the past.
Yeah, and that those segments, when you add them up, is well over a majority of the country. I mean,
getting close to like 80%.
Yeah, so I mean, yeah. The Democrats did not do well in many demographic areas. It could well be that one of the mistakes the Democrats have made in the past is to consider the country from a voting standpoint based on ethnicity and demographics, and to take some for granted and maybe not pay as much attention to some of the others as they might. But in any case, this outcome was bad. In the process of continual improvement, I thought it would be good to try to evaluate why without shooting the messengers. And
Sandy, let me just make one more comment on that. One might ask, well, why did all these groups not vote for Democrats much? And a lot of issues and political issues come into play. But I think one might say, did the Democrats, quote, write them off, take them for granted, ignore them, offend them, or just not succeed in making efforts to attract them, but
yeah,
they, a little bit of ignoring, a little bit of offending.
Yeah, or were there circumstances that they couldn't overcome? And my view is that if the Democrats fall back on the notion that there were circumstances that they couldn't overcome in this election, they'll be missing the opportunity to evaluate, because these are trends. This isn't something that just happened this time. There are some underlying trends that, that relate to some of this. So I thought maybe we could have Lee. I can't. Is it Lee from Janesville?
Thanesville.
Oh, Thanesville. Oh, yes, Lee. Okay.
I absolutely did vote for Harris, so I'm not the person you're looking for. But I wondered if there's any way going forward to fight the news feed that everybody uses, which is the internet or the television, where they only watch, they only watch their point of view. And if they only watch their point of view and they only listen to their point of view, how do we ever move forward in either direction? I mean, people just get more rooted in their beliefs as years go by, and it seems to have been happening for quite a long time. I listened to NPR yesterday in a story on Hidden Brain, and it was about ambiguity and how people who are ambiguous, which can mean just sort of weighing options and thinking about things and really ruminating and saying, I don't really know how I feel about this. I need more information. That is viewed as weak. And people who come out as very, very definite are considered strong. And I think part of Trump's appeal has always been he's strongly what he is. So people can identify with that and they feel he might be a good leader for that reason.
Well, and clearly the echo chamber process that has enveloped the way in which we obtain information, where we go to information sources that tend to agree with us and make us feel good and validate us, makes it harder, I suppose, for the Democrats to change their image, because it'll be hard for them to find the mechanism for providing a message that's different than the one that is being painted for them and on their behalf.
I'm afraid that one may be close to impossible to ever change. You have freedom of speech.
Well, be honest with you. There are mechanisms. There are freedom. You know, I don't think we can control that media, but I think the Democratic Party has to get much more facile with it. There's no question that Donald Trump used that media to reach young men in a very effective way in this last election. And so I think what that provides is a challenge, but I don't think it's necessarily a complete roadblock.
I think it's going to be hard to ever get liberals to watch Fox much.
Oh, yes. Or to get
the opposite Fox, or to get Fox to change, or to get NBC to change.
Yeah, yeah. I think we're kind of stuck with what we got. But but then I think the party that wants to reach people in a manner that's different than how they've been reaching them will have to figure out the pathways for it. That's part of the challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we continue to have more callers, and I think we have just a minute before the break. So I think when we get back after we take these callers, I think for the last segment, at least, we might want to talk about some of the potential lessons to be learned from this and what it is that could relate to these various demographic groups in the last 15 minutes. But we have another segment coming up to talk more about this.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. New CDC data shows 3 out of every 4 high school students nationwide say they've experienced at least one adverse childhood event. That can include experiencing homelessness, abuse, and parental separation. Civic Media's Savannah Tomei Olson reports.
Research shows that adverse childhood experiences, they abbreviate them as ACEs, can alter a child's brain chemistry. It can even produce a prolonged, sometimes lifelong, toxic stress response. Licensed psychologist Joe Bar-Jones says we see the same thing here in Wisconsin.
That increased sense of loneliness, isolation in our youth, increased levels of suicide ideation, exposure to violence, exposure to adverse childhood experiences.
Experiencing at least one ACE as a child is linked to having alcohol and substance use problems as an adult, as well as chronic diseases like diabetes and obesity. And childhood trauma is expensive. According to the National Governors Association, adults with ACEs can lead to billions of dollars in healthcare costs and lost productivity. The Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction has its Trauma Sensitive Schools Initiative, which helps educators support kids who have had these experiences.
National conservationists are working to protect some of the state's oldest trees. The U.S. Forest Service has put together the National Old Growth Amendment that would help protect what are called old growth forests. The goal is to conserve and restore mature forest conditions on federal land. Wisconsin-based forestry consultant Jeff Nisa supports expanding the acreage, describing it as an underrepresented landscape in the Badger State.
Foresters have a long-range perspective on managing ecosystems, not just trees. And we have a better concept of what we started with if we have saved all the pieces in some of our forest ecosystems and types.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabo. Gladiator 2 is just a couple weeks away from hitting theaters. According to director Ridley Scott, Joaquin Phoenix almost quit the first Gladiator. The 86-year-old director says Phoenix got cold feet and told Scott he had to leave the project. It took a Gladiator-type effort from fellow castmate Russell Crowe, who told Phoenix he was being terribly unprofessional. At the end of the day, it was Scott who talked the actor into staying on the film. Gladiator 2 does not have Joaquin Phoenix or Russell Crowe, but is directed by Scott and opens November 22nd. The sixth Pirates of the Caribbean film is in development. Good Lord. Producer Jerry Bruckheimer says production on the film will start in late 2025, but the cast has not yet been assembled. Johnny Depp is a maybe, but Keira Knightley says that she will not take part unless it's the final film of the franchise. Fingers crossed. The film does not have a title yet. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabo, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Mostly sunny today. It will become a little breezy by late this afternoon and especially into this evening. Our high today in the upper 40s to near 50. Tonight, partly cloudy, breezy in the mid to upper 30s. Tomorrow, cloudy with scattered rain and a high in the mid to upper 40s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35.
The Dom Salvia Show.
I had somebody recently, one of the classes I was teaching, saying to me, I don't do politics, Mr. Santa. I don't spend all my time watching MSNBC and reading the opinion columns. I get that.
You might not do politics, but sooner or later, politics is going to do you. Yeah. You got to have some basic level of understanding of what government is about and how it functions and a little bit of the history of it.
You need to do enough.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, we talk film noir with Civic Media's own Earl Ingram. Then I'm joined by the Wisconsin Historical Society's Kurt Griesmer, who talks Dungeons and Dragons.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
I was
10 years old the day I got caught with some dime store candy that I never bought. I hung my head and I faced the wall, 'cause daddy showed me wrong from right. He said, this hurts me more than it does you.
Good morning. Sandy Williams sitting in for Earl Ingram, the Earl Ingram Show. You can call in at 855-752-4842. This morning we're talking about sort of a lessons learned analysis, trying to do some continual improvement sort of evaluation so that the Democratic Party can maybe get closer to what it is that the voters want and need from their government, since they obviously didn't make it all the way there in this last election. We have a whole bunch of callers. I'm going to try and get through as many of them as I can this segment. Maybe we can start with Mike from Kenosha. Hey, Mike.
Good morning, Sandy. Thanks for taking my call. Tough conversations to be had the last few days, that's for sure. We're all kind of spinning around in circles trying to get our minds wrapped around what in the world happened. But I have to say, we're looking at the Kamala Harris campaign, and then when you look at the Donald Trump campaign, one was based on the future and fixing things. The other one was one lie after another, after another, after another. You know, there's still we're talking about the Russian hoax. They're still talking about the big lie. They still wouldn't accept and go on record accepting the results of a certified election yet. A weeks before this next election, I'm looking at a system that is our election system that is completely broken. It's allowed dark money to grow into just huge volumes.
Yeah.
And there's no accountability to it. And at the same time, Sandy, we're now because there's so much money involved, and it's really an ecosystem within South.
Well, it is, but I mean, now, you're talking about causation here, but there is something about what it is that people heard during the campaign that prompted a bunch of demographic groups to migrate more away from the Democratic Party. And I agree with you that much of it has to do with how these things are funded, the nature of the campaigns. But, you know, one campaign was more effective than the other with respect to creating an image that people bought into. And, you know, we might scratch our heads because we weren't one of some of the people who bought into it. But I'm very interested in finding out what it is about the Democratic Party and what they heard that caused people to buy into it to the contrary. So,
I might mention that Democrats raised a lot more money than Republicans.
That may not be
taking into account all the past.
Well, I think we've had on this show, we've talked for a long time, the extent to which dark money has caused Washington to not pay attention to Tom, Dick, and Mary, leaving them with a great deal of frustration about Washington, right? So there's a great deal of frustration about the establishment, which I think Donald Trump tapped into, ironically, because it's not clear that he, during his first four-year term, paid any more attention to it. Maybe we can go to Eric from Wauwatosa.
Hello, good morning. Hi. Personally, and I've said this before, I believe this was simply a case of white folks protecting the property value of whiteness. Something that falls on people, not the Democratic Party. This isn't about Democratic Party. This is about white people figuring out how we're going to get around these deeply seated racist beliefs. Let's not forget how horrible of a human being this candidate was. Somebody no good person wishes their own children will grow up to become. And as for the economy being a go-to reason to vote for the GOP candidate, I contend that it's a go-to cover story for voters who would never admit to racism. And for reference, you can think of the know-nothings.
So you would add a category to what it is that Bob has come up with, which you would say that there is a tribalism or a racism that the Trump campaign tapped into or exploited as being a big factor. And I think I would agree with you on that. I think that there was obviously an excitation of that kind of view of things. But again, trying to stay on the track of evaluating it from the other side. Let's go to David from San Francisco.
yeah. Thanks, Sandy. Is it Bob?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to raise, I posted on the Facebook page for the show a piece regarding Putin, and you may or may not have heard of it. Apparently, just yesterday, Russian TV decided to really tweak Trump. And they ran an episode starting off with naked photographs of Melania Trump. And then they ended up with a photograph, an AI photograph, of course, of Donald Trump on his hands and knees with a collar around him and Putin leading him around. Now, that would not have aired on Russian TV if Putin hadn't agreed to it. So he is just friggin', you know, I don't want to say tormenting Trump, but it's going to play hell with the Americans who have got to pay for foreign policy.
Yeah, I mean, that is an issue, and foreign policy obviously might have played a role in this as well. I think one of the things that that both Professor Franklin mentioned earlier, that was mentioned earlier this morning by some pollsters on NPR and by Bob, is the disaffection of young men particularly. And I think young men in particular were tired and concerned about war and might well be buying into a more isolationist kind of a non-interventionist policy that Trump is selling, and that might have helped him with that category. Thank you, David. Let's go to Tom from L.A.
Yes, Andy, I hope you're giving me as much time as you gave David to actually have a conversation a little bit.
Well, look at time. My only condition is I want to have the conversation from the standpoint of evaluating what it is that was going on in the minds of people who didn't vote for Donald Trump. I don't want to have we can have another show, another talk about what the reaction to it ought to be or what the validity of those thoughts might be. But right today, I'm just trying to focus on what were these people thinking?
Well, I'll tell you what. One, we need to move in a more FDR direction. And if people don't know who FDR is, then shame on us, because we should have been teaching our kids this from the beginning in terms of who FDR was. And he was a four-term president. I think the Democrats need to get back to their FDR roots. Second, you do realize that having this conversation right now, mm-hmm. that the conservatives would consider you an elitist. They would consider you playing Barbara Streisand not the most masculine thing in the world. That's what these people are about. The thing is, they have a media infrastructure that tells them daily what exactly it is that people should be saying. You have these right wingers call up your radio station. It's perfectly right out of the right wing playbook.
Well, Tom, in fact, in the last segment, and maybe you should stay on, but in the last segment, what I plan to talk about is like, what do the Democrats do about this, and what are the impediments to it? And one of the things I can identify is that the Republican Party, some would say very cynically, have a very tight messaging system, and their tent is not so very big. The number of issues that are discussed in the tent are very limited. The Democratic tent is very big. They take on any issue that people want to talk about, and the approach of the Democrats, therefore, to the public is much less disciplined. The Republicans have had a very cynical strategy associated with judgeships, associated with districting, and associated with policy discussion. And the policy discussion, you know, they have a morning briefing that's called Fox News that basically allows everyone who considers themselves a conservative to find out what it means and why they're conservatives. But the point is, it's been effective, okay, because this last election was proof that there's a message that is effective that's getting to people who might vote for Democrats who are in fact voting for Republicans. So that's what I'm trying to get to the heart of on this issue. And painful as it is, I think that, you know, I need to, for instance, I think I'm going to take this call from CJ now. And CJ, I'm interested if you could look at this from a constructive standpoint and identify, not combatively, not to discuss why it is that people should never vote for Democrats or what's at heart wrong with them, but what is it about the Democratic image or brand that prompts you to be a very ardent MAGA Republican?
Well, part of it is, thanks for taking my call, Sandy. Part of it is, my dad always said, When you talk politics, it's hard to argue with Santa Claus. And the Democrat Party tried to buy their way into this. They proudly raised over $1 billion and still ended up $20 million in debt.
Well,
they brought in all kinds of entertainers. So the Democrats wanted it about personality and not about policy, because the Republicans won on every policy other than maybe abortion, because they misrepresented what Republicans and we believe.
Well, you're making an assumption that the reason people voted was for policy, and that's what I'm trying to get at, and that's why we had Charles Franklin on earlier, and that's what I think pollsters will be evaluating. But there was policy and there was image, and my sense is that image might have played a big role, and maybe just as big a role as policy.
Well, I think people were living the Biden-Harris Democrat policy, and they weren't acknowledged. We were told how good the economy was, and you're wrong about it. Well, every time we went to the grocery store, every time, inflation is down. Yeah, after they've taken it up to 22% over 3 years. So they didn't listen. They wanted to sway us by, this is a bad orange man, and he's going to ruin the country. Well, this guy's going to be inaugurated, and he's going to be running. He's already.
Well, I appreciate your call, CJ. We're going to try and stay on the track of analyzing what and why, and you've been helpful. I appreciate your call. Maybe David from Mequon has stayed on. Dave, do you have something more you'd like to add to this subject at this point? I'm sorry to keep you hanging for so long.
Yeah, no problem. It's good to hear other viewpoints. Again, I just go back to the fact that if you look at, who has been included now into Trump's world, basically, the Tulsi Gabbards, the Kennedys, Elon Musk. I mean, these are all individuals that think a little bit differently, but they obviously have been kind of outcast. And I would point out, prior to this, and I listened to what Dr. Craig has said over the last couple of years, and he was mad at Kristen Sinema and Joe Manchin, who are more moderate Democrats. And the reason why they chose not to rerun for election is they don't fit within the current party structure.
Well, and let me just say, though, David, just to be, and this is not really on track, but you certainly have the problem in the Republican side of orthodoxy, because the term rhino was a term that's been used with some regularity, and the rhinos got run out of the Republican Party. So I'm not sure there's a great deal more embrace for people who aren't towing the line on some form of orthodoxy in the Republican Party. I mean, there's a long list of people who vacated the party.
Yeah, there's no question. And that was what we call a country club Republican. and what I mean by that is that's what the Republicans were associated with. And so now
you
what
mean
you're seeing
Adam,
is
Adam Kensinger and no, I mean, I think what you're demonstrating is the same sort of requirement for orthodoxy that you're saying about the Democrats. But the fact is that the Republicans won this election, and for some reason the messaging didn't work for the Democrats. We'll be talking about this when we come back.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Everyone on the road is trying to make it to their destination safely. You can help by staying aware of the large trucks and buses around you. they take longer to stop, have large blind spots, and make wide turns that require caution from other drivers. It takes all of us working together to share the road safely. Learn more at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov. Paid for by FMCSA.
You're an organ donor, right? Here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Jeannie from Eau Claire.
I am thankful for Civic Media, the on-air talent, the technicians, the producers, the new staff, and especially Mr. Sage Wild. It's a very, very sad, shocking day for me, but I still have hope because I have hope in you guys. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, Jeannie. You give us hope. Appreciate you listening.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Welcome back. Sandy Williams sitting in for Earl Ingram, the Earl Ingram Show. This is the last segment. We're talking about lessons learned from the last election, lessons to be learned from the Democratic side as to why they experienced failure. You can call in at 855-752-4842. I've got Bob Sawdyke on the line, an old friend of mine and a colleague, a prominent lawyer from Atlanta, who's done a good job of trying to analyze some of the issues that that might have affected the vote of on the Democrats this last time around. His thought, and the reason we talked and then he's on the show, is his concern that Democrats might find an excuse like inflation or other happenstance, the short campaign of Kamala Harris, as the reason for this loss rather than maybe digging deeper into this. And Bob, I thought maybe in this last segment, we can take a call in a minute, but I thought in this last segment, you might try to focus on what happens next? You know, what is it that, given the information and the kind of process that must have gone through the heads of these eight different demographic groups that comprise 80% of the country and which trended badly for the Democrats, what do you think they can do about it?
Well, that's difficult. Well, I suppose step one is analyze it as we've tried to do today. And, you know, but they, i.e. Democratic leaders, need to do it. And even if they disagree with a particular issue not being important, get it down there, throw it around, and try to figure out why so many people voted.
I think you and I on the phone talked about the issue associated with they. Because the Democratic Party doesn't, you know, other than the fact that they seem to be able to select who should be president on a leadership basis, it doesn't seem like they have the same sort of ideological focus kind of apparatus and leadership that the Republican Party has. And how do you think the Democratic Party can get there?
Well, that's difficult. They don't have a leader right now. I mean, the Republicans have Trump for... I guess, you know, Democrats used to have maybe Obama or Clinton or somebody else, Biden at one point, maybe. No longer. I mean, Chuck Schumer doesn't seem to be the right guy to do it. Nancy Pelosi is dialing down and so on. So, but maybe that's okay because maybe it's as well to get a group together. You know, let's just say they select 12, you know.
The 12 apostles, huh? Yeah.
Yeah. You know, a couple of governors, a couple of senators, congressmen, others who have been in on the cabinet or wherever. Mix it up a little bit in terms of progressive versus modern and so on.
Yeah, I think you've identified, though, an important thing, which is that the leadership, ultimately, there needs to be a leader, obviously. Figurehead leaders end up being important parts of guiding policy. We have a couple of callers. We just have a brief moment here, but why don't we jump into that? We have Agram Khan on the line.
Hey, guys. Hi, Sandy.
Hi.
I'm a Muslim. I represent, a big coalition here in Wisconsin. And, of course, wanted to pick your brain about, do you guys feel that, the Democrats kind of lost their way with the Muslim vote, with the Arab vote, especially in places like, Southeast Wisconsin, Madison, and in Michigan? Or, they completely ignored whatever noise we were making regarding Gaza. And that was the only issue that the Muslim vote showed up to the polls and voted against Kamala.
Well, you're the best. You're the best judge of that, Agram. That's why I asked you. So we probably should have added. And clearly, that was an issue. Might well have been an issue in Dearborn and in Michigan generally, and clearly in Wisconsin as well. And there was a kind of a rock and a hard spot process ongoing. It's the ironic thing about that the Muslim vote and that issue is that the Trump doesn't seem to be any better on that score in terms of the discussion of what public policy might be, but it could well be that the Muslim vote sat on its hands, at least in some fashion, and that obviously was an issue. Can we maybe go to Chad from Greenfield?
Hey, Sandy. I don't think it's important why I voted for President Trump, but I can give you some information why people I know that personally know that were in the middle, why they all voted for President Trump. Number one, like I said from the beginning, Kamala Harris was not a likable candidate. She was installed undemocratically, and people had no say in it. Even my liberal friends did not really like her. Number two, I know three young couples that cannot buy houses because of the interest rates. Now, luckily, when I bought my house, it was 5.9%, and I was able to even remortgage it down to 2.9% and able to pay it off right away. With these rates, young couples cannot buy houses. Number three, Kamala would refuse to say names like Rachel Morin and Lake and Riley and Jocelyn and all those names that she was responsible for. She just kind of laughed it off, and that's a slap in the face to normal Americans. And number four, people are just sick of being called racist and fascist. Maggie Dawn is still calling people racist.
Yeah, well, I think you've identified a number of the issues that, Bob, you had outlined as being potential issues, and it clearly has been. Look, thank you all for listening in, Bob. Thank you for calling in. There's more work to be done, a lot more work to be done on this kind of an exploration and analysis and a lessons learned process. But I thought today we could devote some time to it. Well, maybe it'll happen again. And I welcome all of the calls from the listeners. So end of Tuesday. I'll be back on Friday, but Earl will be back here tomorrow. Thank you all for listening.
Thanks.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as it's Tuesday Tangents with Luke Mathers. We'll find out what's grinding his gears and more. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Managing editor of E-Bombs World, Mr. Peter Rapine.
Google this week released a new product, the new AI overview. If you Google search, can I use gasoline to cook spaghetti? Google, it says, no, you can't use it to cook spaghetti, but you can use gasoline to make spicy spaghetti dishes.
Not recommended. Do not do that.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.